Good to see everyone this morning. Appreciate the visitors that we have with us. We hope that what we are doing here and what you are getting out of it is a benefit to you spiritually. And, of course, our focus is on praising God. As just an announcement or mention, tonight we will begin to hear from some of our young guys as they continue to develop their abilities in preaching. Neil Kendrick is going to be preaching for us this evening, and we certainly look forward to that lesson. Invite everyone to come back for that. For the last good while, the elders have been kind of reevaluating the roles of the deacons, and particularly in the last couple of months, more emphasis has been put on that. It's an effort to kind of adjust our developing needs and realign what's necessary for us to kind of redefine and reassign some of the tasks, some of the work that is done here at Jordan Park. We presently have a great group of guys who are serving as deacons, who are doing a tremendous amount of good work that we really should not take for granted. A lot of that work is done behind the scenes, but it is important work for us as the body of Christ to continue to function as one. And we are at the point where we need to appoint more deacons. And so with that in mind, I'm going to present two lessons, one this morning on the qualifications of deacons, the work of the deacons, and next week on the qualifications of the deacons, Lord willing. And I would ask that you really pay close attention to the biblical pattern. You know, as time goes on, unfortunately, man has the tendency to loosen up a little bit on following what the Bible pattern is and coming up with new ideas. It's important for us to emphasize and reemphasize the biblical pattern that we have to make sure that we are the church that Jesus built. And so I would encourage you to be looking at intently the pattern that we have in the Word of God, and also to be thinking about the qualities of the men that we have here who can be appointed in the role of deacon. Next Sunday, we intend to send out or to pass out some sheets for you to make your selections of individuals that you believe are qualified to do the work of deacon here in our work at Jordan Park. So, our lesson this morning, deacons, the appointed servants of the church. If you have your Bibles, please open to 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8, where we find this word deacon occurring. It says, "Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money," and it continues giving some qualifications of those. But he uses this word deacons, or in the original language, diakonos. It is a word that means one who executes the commands of another, especially of a master, a servant, attendant, or minister. Now, the noun form and the verb form is found about 101 times in the New Testament. And the vast majority of those times, it just has reference to a servant, a minister. Now, about seven times, or how you look at it, five times to seven times, it is used specifically of this function of this individual who is appointed a special servant of the church. And we're going to be looking at those passages this morning. But it's like the word elder. The word elder just means an older person. But biblically, and it's used that way biblically in context, but biblically it's also used in a very specific way. Individuals that have specific qualities and who are really designated as the leaders of the church. The same is true with this word deacon. It is a general word for servant, but it is also used in a technical sense or a specific sense of individuals who are appointed in that role. Some examples of the way the word is used. In John chapter 2, it says, "His mother," speaking of Jesus' mother, "said to the servants," there's our word, diakonos, whatever he says to you, do it. So here are some hired servants at a wedding in Cana, and they are identified as deacons. They're identified as servants or ministers. In the book of Matthew, in the 4th chapter in verse 11, it says, "Then the angel left him alone, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." There's our word again in the original. So angels are deacons, or angels are servants. They're ministers. In the book of Matthew, in the 20th chapter, in verse 28, speaking of Jesus, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many," Jesus is also a deacon. He is also a minister. He is a servant. The apostles, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, "Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant." The apostles are deacons. The apostles are specially given responsibility concerning the new covenant as well. They are ministers. They are servants. Preachers as well, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. "If you," speaking to Timothy, "if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ." They are servants of Jesus Christ. They are servants of their brethren. So as they preach, as they teach, as they instruct, they are being good servants. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Really, all Christians are deacons. All Christians are ministers. All Christians are servants. All Christians have been given opportunities, and they are to use those opportunities in the service of others. So as we just look at the term minister, diakonos, we have some basic qualifications or qualities. Number one is you have a task that someone is performing. Someone is doing something. Now, interestingly, there is another word in the original, doulos, which means a bond servant. And sometimes it could be either voluntary or involuntary. It is used in the sense of a slave. So at times, an individual is made to serve, is forced into servitude. That's not the word that's used here. The word that's used here, diakonos, is a word of someone who takes on a work, someone who gives in some way. It also implies that there's someone who is the master, someone who is giving the task, someone who is organizing it, making sure that that task is being done. And I think significantly, there's an attitude of servitude. There's an attitude of service. As our theme is for this year from Philippians chapter 2, "Let each count others better than himself." For us to be servants of one another, we have to be willing to be placed in the position of doing a work, being submissive to someone else in order to accomplish something good. And really, that's the foundation of what makes Christianity work. People serving people is what God has done, so it's from the top down, and he wants all of us to do. But let's turn our attention to the specific sense in which it is used, and we'll be looking here at 1 Timothy chapter 3 once again. More broadly, Paul identifies his purpose for writing the book in chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, where he says, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Timothy, here is a letter that I'm writing to you so that you know what you're supposed to be doing, so that you know how you're supposed to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church. This is a significant role that you're playing as a minister, as a servant of the Lord. And he talks about a variety of things. He talks about the need to preach the truth, to preach the word of God, to instruct people in righteousness. He talks about those that would not. There would be false teachers, and his interaction, his responsibility to point out false teachers and false teaching. He talks about the need for prayer, to be offered. He talks about how women should dress appropriately and the role of a woman, particularly in public teaching. He talks about how young people are supposed to treat older people and how women are to treat men and men are to treat women. He talks about how rich people are supposed to handle. He talks about a lot of different things. But here in chapter 3, he talks about a couple of roles that are significant. He says in verse 1, chapter 3 and verse 1, "This is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be," and he begins to give some qualities of these designated leaders. These are not just older people, not just elderly people within the church, but these are individuals that have specific qualities because they are going to be given a specific role in the house of God, in the church of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. Set things in order, Timothy, to make sure that they are following the pattern that God has given. Part of that is that there be elders with these particular qualities. Notice verse 8, he says, "Likewise, deacons must be, just as you have particular qualities of men to be elders, so you have particular qualities of individuals who are appointed, specially appointed deacons or servants to do a particular task." So let's read through that real quickly. As I said, next week we're going to break down the definitions of some of these words for the qualities. But now just have in your mind here this the emphasis of this word of servant, servant. Verse 8, "Likewise, deacons," or servants, ministers, "must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be proved, them, let them serve as deacons." Notice that we have three words in the English there, serve as deacons. In the original, it's just one. It's the verb. They're servants. But the translators want to make sure that we are designating that this is a particular sense in which, or particular group of individuals, serve as deacons, be found blameless. Verse 11, "Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderous, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons," let servants, "be the husbands of one wife, ruling their own children in their own house as well. For those who have served well as deacons," served as deacons, once again, is one word in the original, but it is qualified by well. "Served well as deacons, obtained for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." So in all of these instances, because there are particular qualities given, it's not that everyone who is a servant in some sense has all of these qualities. He must be talking about a particular group of designated individuals, appointed individuals, who serve in this role as being a servant. In the book of Philippians, chapter 1, we also find this term used, I think, in this special sense, or the specific sense, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, "Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons." Interestingly, I didn't look at it ahead of time. That first word, servants there, servants of Jesus Christ, I don't know if that's diakonos or not. That may be doulo. But anyway, the reason why I did look at it, and I did look at this specifically, he says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. Everyone who is a Christian is a saint, is someone who is set apart by the blood of Jesus Christ, cleansed, sanctified, made holy. All of us are saints in Christ Jesus. But he breaks down two subsets within those saints within the church there in Philippi to refer to the bishops, those who are overseers, and also to the deacons. So apparently this church was organized in such a way that they had individuals who were specially designated servants. So when we're looking at this term of being a servant or a deacon, deacons don't start serving when they are appointed. We're all servants. It's really a natural extension of the work that all of us are doing, serving in various ways. But deacons are specially appointed to do a particular task that needs to be done in order for the body to work in a wholesome or in a unified way. I guess the difference is those individuals who are deacons are appointed to a task that is ongoing, is something that is particular, is key to the functioning of the body, something that you have to make sure is going to get done. I think these qualities that are given of a deacon really demonstrate that the man has some maturity and some stick-to-itness, because there are some jobs that just need to get done for the body to function. And so you specially appoint individuals to that task to make sure that it gets done so that the body can continue. They will serve in that role. So what is the role of a deacon? Obviously, the definition of the term helps us to understand what their role is. You know, when Mary was told about the birth of a son, the angel said, "You shall call his name Jesus." The reason is because Jesus means something. The word means, it means Savior or Deliverer. Angels are called angels because the word means a messenger. Apostles are called apostles because it means someone who is sent with a message. An evangelist is called an evangelist because it means a proclaimer of the gospel or the good news. An overseer, a pastor, an elder, each one of those terms has a meaning that helps to identify him as a leader who has experience. A Christian is a term that is used because it means, at its very basis, someone who is a follower of Jesus Christ. And the term deacon is used because it means, literally, a servant who is appointed to do a specific work. If there is an example of deacon, it would be in Acts, the 6th chapter. Let's go over to Acts chapter 6. Now, the reason why I say if, express any doubt in that, is because the text doesn't say this is how you appoint deacons. However, in the text, there are two places where the Greek word deacon is found, and so it seems to be a good connection and an illustration of this, of the process and of what the deacons are to do. So let's read chapter 6 and verse 1, where it says, "Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution." Some versions have ministration. That's actually the original word, is this word deacon. So they were not being deaconed. They were not being served in the proper way. And so there was a problem. There was a work that needed to be done. There was a work that was ongoing, and that work was not being taken care of. And so there needed to be a solution to that. We continue in verse 2. "Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we,'" talking about the apostles, "'the 12, should leave the word of God to serve tables.'" That word "serve" is the verb form of deacon or diakonos, so that it identifies this is a service that needs to be done. And a distinction is made. The apostles say, we have a job, and it's not good for us to leave our job to do this other. One individual can't do it all, or one group of individuals can't do it all. There has to be the combining of everyone within the body of Christ. And so they said, we cannot desert our job in order to fulfill this other job. And so we have to remedy this in some way. And so they come up with a solution, and that is to choose 7 men. In verse 3 it says, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, that we may appoint over this business." So there are some particular qualities that they are going to look for in order for this work to be done. They need to have a good reputation. They need to have a good influence. They need to be honorable individuals. They need to be full of the Holy Spirit, perhaps referring to they need to be following the dictates of the Holy Spirit, or it perhaps means they need to be inspired. They need to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit in some way as well, that may help them with their work, and that they might have wisdom, that they might have practical ability to get things accomplished, might have wisdom so that this job might be accomplished well. And if you think about this new church here in Jerusalem, it is established in chapter 2 with 3,000 being baptized. By chapter 4, it's up to 5,000 men. And then chapter 5, it says it's growing. The beginning of here in chapter 6, it says it's multiplying, it's growing. So you've got 5,000 plus men, plus the women, very large group of people. And if you just think about it, they only choose 7 men. So what about the 4,993 plus other men? What were they doing? Well, obviously you don't necessarily have to appoint everyone who is qualified. It depends on the job that needs to be done. And secondly, I was thinking, how many jobs needed to be done for 5,000 plus men, plus the women and all of the children, to function as a group? I mean, where did they meet? Some of the times they met in the temple, but what provisions had to be made for the partaking of the Lord's Supper and the giving? And what provisions had to be made for people having classes where they study the Bible, or the children in their study of the Bible? Just think about the number of things that need to be accomplished for a group of well over 5,000 people. So why does he talk about this one thing, just this one little problem? Well, I say little problem. It wasn't a little problem for the widows who didn't have enough to eat, but this one little area. Perhaps this is God saying, listen, brethren, in the church there are a lot of jobs that need to be done, and this is how you solve it. Here is a pattern that in the church of the Lord is to be followed for individuals to be able to accomplish the task, to be able to accomplish the needs that they have. And so, in verse 4, the apostles are saying, seek out from among yourselves 7 men to take care of this. In verse 6, or verse 4, it says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. There actually is our word diakonos. Their ministry, their deaconship was in the preaching of the word. And so it pleased the multitude in verse 5, and they chose these 7 men. In verse 6 it says, they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed and laid their hands on them, there's the laying on of hands once again, a show of approval here. And the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. The church functioned and functioned well, and therefore it was able to continue to grow and to expand the borders of the kingdom by more individuals being led to Christ and becoming Christians. But what we have here is, you know, for the widows to be fed, there had to be money, and that food had to be bought, and it had to be distributed, and places to stay had to be organized. For that to be accomplished, these 7 men were being put in charge of that, but that did not mean that only those 7 men did anything. There was a whole lot of other individuals that were involved with the service of these widows, but these 7 men were put in charge to make sure it got done, and make sure that it got done efficiently and effectively. We are a body of Christ, and all of our parts are to function as one because we have one goal in mind, and that is to do the will of God, that is to expand the borders of the kingdom. And because of that, there are our elders, and there are preachers, and there are members, there are teachers, there are a whole host of work that is done by all of the body of Christ, all of the members, all of it functioning together. Deacons are a part of that process. And we can and should appreciate the work that the deacons are doing in order for them to, in order for us to function well. And it's also important for the deacons to take their responsibility very with a great deal of severity or a great deal of sobriety, because our work needs to continue, pandemic or not. We've got work to do. And for that work to be accomplished, all of us need to put in what we do in order for that work to be done. Because ultimately, we don't work for each other. We work for the Lord. And you think about Jesus coming to this earth and being a servant, being a deacon, doing his job. He did it even when people did not appreciate what he was doing. He did it even when people didn't recognize what he was doing. He did it even when he was persecuted to death for the service he was rendering. He did the will of God, no matter who was looking, no matter who was watching, no matter what anybody else did, because it was him and God in that relationship. And deacons are the same way today. They need to take seriously their responsibility and do the task that they have been assigned. We have a good number of very strong deacons here. One of them is Brian Alexander, who has the responsibility to take care of the workroom, in which a great deal of work is done, but there has to be supplies that are there for that work to be done, and also for the track racks to be organized, the bulletin board, and the directory to be updated and passed out so that we might have the contact information for everyone. Daniel Barnes has the responsibility of the snail mail correspondence courses. There are hundreds of those that go out. There are many individuals that grade those courses, and supplies have to be placed there, and the coordination of that needs to be done efficiently and effectively so that that work can continue. There is Billy Bradford, who has the responsibility of our live streaming and of the recording of the sermons and of the PA system, and a great deal of work that is done on the website as well. Jamie Britnell has the responsibility in the groups, for our groups to be organized, for us to get together, for us to write cards and make phone calls to individuals that need it and follow up on visitors and a lot of other things that are done, good things that are done within our groups. Mark McMurray has a responsibility of making sure that our widows are taken care of, particularly in the areas of benevolence, and to take notes and to organize things with the business meeting. Paul Osmer, to interface with the janitorial service that we have and to make sure that the building inspections take place in a timely manner. And Charles White, who is our treasurer, to make sure that the monies that is collected is put in the proper channels so that the evangelist we are supporting can be supported, and all of the other things that go on with the financial dealings of the congregation. Bill Yell is in charge of the Jordan Park News and Notes and the Wednesday evening and announcements and the organization of the library as well. There are many, many other things that are accomplished by many other individuals as well who are not specifically designated as deacons. And all of those works are on a continual basis need to be done. And in fact, there are several jobs that are not yet designated to a particular individual that really need to be looked after. And so we have several appointments, several assignments to make to other men as well. There's more that needs to be done. The Jordan Park is a working congregation, and for that to be accomplished, there are a lot of individuals that need to be dedicated to make sure key things are done, so that all of us can participate in a very positive way. I would encourage you to take a moment to say thank you to these guys, to recognize them for the work that they have done and are doing and will do, and for their families as well, who I'm sure participate a great deal in the work that the men are doing as well. Take a moment to express your appreciation for that. And I would also just note that in the past, there have been a few guys here. Bill Hodges, last year in July of 2020, stepped down after many years of serving faithfully as a deacon, did a tremendous amount of work in the development of our Bible correspondence courses and the being a webmaster. I spent hours and hours of his time doing that. It would be good, I think, to reach out to say thank you to him. John Gresham stepped down at the end of January of 2021 of this year. He coordinated Bible class teachers and class material and attendance and ushers. In fact, I was looking at a directory from 1977, and his picture's there as a deacon. That was when I had hair. I mean, that was when I graduated high school. That was 44 years ago. John Gresham served diligently during those years. Glenn Grant has also stepped down at the end of February of this year, and he coordinated the building, the maintenance inside, outside, the baptistry, the air conditioning, heating system. He also deserves a great thanks for the work that he did. Please begin to think through men that would do well to serve, to be appointed in specific tasks here at Jordan Park so that we can continue this process. And I would also encourage the men, consider whether or not you're willing to take it on. If you're not willing to serve, this is not an honorary position where everybody gets to walk around with a name tag, you know, deacon or something. It's a job. If you're not willing to do the job, please don't take it. Because we need workers. We need people who are going to take seriously the responsibility and work, because we want to serve the Lord. And going back to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13, Paul says, "For those who serve well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." Good standing. Because the fact is, a deacon who is serving well is like Jesus Christ. Because he was a minister, he was a servant, he was a deacon who served and served well. And that's our job, is to look like the Master. If you're not a Christian, we would encourage you to think of Jesus Christ and all that he did as a servant for us, to give his life a ransom, to do the will of God, even to the point of death, so that we could have life. If you're not a Christian, we'd encourage you to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Be willing to repent of your sins, change your mind and your life in accordance and harmony with his will. Confess his name with your mouth, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be baptized, be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, to begin a life of service unto the Lord. If you're not a Christian, we'd encourage you to become one. If you are a Christian and have turned back to this world and need to make your repentance known before this group, we would encourage you to come while we stand and sing.